We are going to be looking at John chapter 14 today. So go ahead and turn there with me, John chapter 14. Seems like there's a insane number of unknowns in life. Just so many things that we don't know. Let me know in the comments. What's something that you wish you knew, but you know that you don't know? Something you wish you knew, but you know that you don't know. One of the things that we've been reminded of lately is that we really don't know what today holds, much less tomorrow. We don't know what politicians are going to say. We don't know what public life is going to look like in a month. And we don't know if we're ever going to find toilet paper at the store ever again. We just don't know.
The cheap kind's there.
The cheap one-ply is at the store now. So rush out after this morning. Get me some cheap one-ply toilet paper. According to Abby, it's there, all right. But we don't know when the good stuff's coming back, right? I wish I knew if we were going to have VBS this summer. I wish I knew when we'll be able to come back together as a church family again, and what that's going to look like. And even outside of our current situation, I wish I knew even more things. I wish I knew that my kids are going to be happy, healthy adults. I wish I knew how to best care for Raylan's needs. We try to do the best we can, and we try to follow what the doctors say, but I mean, ultimately, her condition's so complex, it's hard to know exactly what's the best for her. I wish I knew how to best help all of you and myself and my family grow in faith and glorify God. But I just don't know it all. And I find the more that I learn, how little I know. There's just so many unknowns. So what is it that you don't know, but you wish that you knew?
Will I see a murder hornet this summer?
Somebody wants to know if they're going to see a murder hornet this summer.
What will the world look like in 10 years?
What the world's going to look like in 10 years? Yeah, we don't know that. There's so many things we don't know.
I get to take a vacation this summer.
Yeah, vacations. I know some people have planned vacations. They're just not sure if they're going to be able to do that. We don't know. It's easy to get consumed with all the unknowns. We can dwell on them so much that our hearts become troubled and we worry about all sorts of things, but that doesn't really seem to accomplish much, does it? So what should we do when our hearts are troubled? To answer that question, we're going to be reading John chapter 14. Verses 1 through 14, but right now I'm just starting in verse 1. We'll just read that one verse for now. Jesus said this in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So Jesus told his disciples to believe. No matter what troubles your heart, the simple solution is to believe. To believe in God and to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. But let me know, is it easy to believe in God when your heart is troubled? Is that easy? Does that come natural to us? I've counseled with a few people over the years that seem to think that sounds far too overly simplistic. A lot of times when I counsel with somebody, I hear their story, I hear their troubles, I hear what's on their heart, what worries them, the problem they're going through, but then I preach the gospel, because it's the gospel that saves, it's the gospel that heals our wounds. But when they hear the gospel, and I try to show how it relates to their situation, a lot of people think, that sounds too easy. That sounds overly simplistic. People deal with some heavy issues. Some things that often confuse and worry us are things like disease and broken relationships and death and heaven and hell. But no matter what it is, Jesus tells us just to believe. Just to believe. Is that really, in our minds, is that really going to solve the problem that we face, though? Let me ask it like this. Can faith in Jesus really give you peace like a river? In 1555, a man named Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in prison, in the prison chamber, to be of assistance and comfort and just to spend time with him, because he thought that his brother would be up all hours of the night just worrying about what was going to happen the next day. But Nicholas actually declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he ever did before in his life, because he knew the peace of God, and he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. He had peace. See, Jesus can give you that kind of peace. He calmed the storms of the sea, and he can just as easily calm your heart in the midst of the storm. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's interesting that a lot of people are troubled by the thought of heaven. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that people, when they're confronted with the idea of heaven, it actually worries them? You know, we ought to have peace about heaven. And yet a lot of people are troubled about heaven because they worry about whether or not they'll go there, or about whether their loved ones will go there. But Jesus told his disciples, hey, just trust in me. Just trust me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm preparing a place for you. See, Jesus gave us an enormous promise. By grace, through faith in him, we don't have to worry at all about our eternal home. Jesus wants us to be absolutely certain about our eternal home. So he told us, don't worry, I'm coming back. And when I come again, I'll come and take you back with me so that you can be with me forever. And he does that not because we earn it in some way, but simply because he loves us and he loves to show us his grace. Maybe you're insecure about your worth before God. Maybe that's why you worry about heaven. You're insecure about it. Like you don't think you deserve it. And it's true that we've all sinned and we don't deserve forgiveness. And yet, God forgives. He freely gives, freely forgives without favoritism. He loves the unlovable and gives grace to the undeserving. Therefore, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from our sin. We're saved from hell. We're saved unto heaven. And that's all because Jesus paved the way for us. He went to the cross, died for our sin, rose from the grave, and would ascend to heaven. And yet, so often we still doubt. Verse 4, Jesus said to his disciples, and you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. It's interesting that Jesus was speaking to his disciples in a very comforting way. He's saying, hey, I'm going away, but I'll be back. And where I'm going, I'm going to bring you back with me. And Thomas, you know me. You know the Father. Jesus is saying all these comforting ways, all these comforted things to his disciples, telling them that they have a place in heaven waiting for them, and yet they seemed to be troubled by his words. They didn't know what he was talking about. They had an unknown regarding the afterlife and of Jesus' plan. Or maybe they were just so earthly minded still that they didn't even No, they weren't even capable yet of understanding him. And yet Jesus told them, you know the way to where I'm going. Did they? Well, I mean, they must have. I mean, Jesus said it, and Jesus is God, and God doesn't lie. So they must have known the way that Jesus was going to where he was going. And yet it seemed like they were still suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. They wanted a Savior who would free them from the Romans, from Roman control, from government problems. I mean, they wanted a savior who would bring peace to their country and who would conquer their enemies with a sword. They certainly didn't want a savior who would die on a cross. And so I wonder how many people reject Jesus today because he's just not what they want him to be. But if Jesus is the Lord, and he is, then we don't have the right to define who Jesus is for ourselves. We need to come humbly to Jesus, revealed in Scripture, and allow him to mold us into his image, and not the other way around. See, I'm becoming more and more convinced that people reject Jesus not because they don't know that he's the way, but because they don't want him to be their way. They don't want him to be the way. They want to make their own way. And when I say people, I really mean you and me. So often I go my own way because I want to make something of myself. I want to be known. I want to be liked. I want to have a successful church, a successful ministry, a successful family, a successful career. But what's interesting about this is that when I find that I can't do it because I fall short, I get troubled, and I have to be reminded once again that what Jesus says to me, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So I'm not to believe in myself or my ability to do all the things that I've wanted to do, but as if I'm my Savior, but believe in Jesus, because only he is the Savior. Well, that's actually pretty easy to do once I see that I fail. But it's much harder to do when I think that I'm succeeding. But even then, I get troubled. I get troubled that maybe I can't sustain the success, that it'll all come crashing down. And then what do I do? Before we started meeting together online 8 weeks ago, you may have noticed that our church was actually experiencing some amazingly consistent growth. We grew by about 10% per year for the last 3 years. And we baptized 15 people in those 3 years. That might not seem like a lot, and maybe when you think back on it, you're like, oh, did we really baptize that many? But hey, I keep the stats. I know these things. But that's actually considered to be excellent growth by people who study these things. So I worry that when we're finally able to come back together again, this COVID-19 thing forces us to meet online, and it's just discouraging me. We'll all be so used to staying at home that all that growth from the last 3 years would just be undone. I worry that. But even more than that, I worry that we're not being effective right now, making the most of this time in discipling one another, sharing the gospel with our lost neighbors, taking advantage of every opportunity to meet together and grow in our faith, encouraging each other. But once again, in the midst of all my worries and unknowns, Jesus says to me, let not your heart be troubled. Just believe in God. Believe also in me. Listen, no matter what troubles your heart, whether it's failure or success or unknowns, the answer is to believe. Trust in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. He alone is the way and the truth and the life. See, Jesus is the way. He is the only way. There is no other way. Jesus is the truth. There is no other truth. No other path to heaven. No other Savior that exists. Jesus is the only name by which we must be saved. And Jesus is the life. All life comes through him. All life is from him. He is the only way to experience eternal life with the Father in heaven. So then Philip had a question. Look at verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak by my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Jesus said in another place, I and the Father are one. If you want to see God, look no further than Jesus. So it's easy to misconstrue who God is, because nobody's ever seen God. He's spirit, invisible. We can imagine all kinds of things about God if we want to, but Jesus is tangible. Jesus lived a physical life. We know exactly what Jesus did by reading his word. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. So keep that in mind when we read what's next. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus told his disciples they would do greater works than himself. Which means that he was saying that they, and maybe we, would do greater things than God. That to me sounds blasphemous, right? When I first read that, I thought, how is that possible? How can we possibly do greater things than God? But when you start to think about it, it only makes sense. At least when you look at it the way that Jesus is talking about it. He wasn't saying that we can create the earth. He wasn't saying that we could do anything that we wanted to do. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was talking about how he was leaving the earth and he was giving his ministry to all these believers, to us, that we would continue in doing the things that he's called us to do. The breadth of his ministry, he only ministered on the earth for 3 years. And yet he left his disciples, he left us, to continue spreading the gospel with the whole world. See, it's not a difference. It's a difference of in quantity rather than quality. Jesus could do far more than we ever could do. And yet, he's left us here to spread the gospel. That's the first sense. But also, think about this. Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. It only makes sense that Jesus could do what he did, right? Because God can do anything. But who are we? We don't have any miraculous powers. We're not omnipotent. And yet Jesus, when Jesus works through us, when we ask something in his name and he does it, that's a miracle. So is your heart sometimes troubled? Believe in Jesus. He can do the miraculous in you. He can forgive you of your sin and give you peace and do absolutely amazing things through your life. Listen, we don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow or next month. Life is full of unknowns, and that's true whether we're meeting online because of this pandemic or if we're at church like usual. I think that this situation has simply brought to light these kinds of truths that we don't know. But we do know this. Throughout all this, we can trust Jesus. He is the way. That means, of course, that we shouldn't go our own way. Our way leads to troubled hearts, but Jesus is the truth, and his way leads to life and peace. Faith in Jesus really can give you peace like a river. So put your faith in him.